The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Patiently enduring for the promise of God. Have you had a promise from God? Has God given you a promise? And years go by, and you say, God, where's that big hunk of a man I've been promised? Or the other way around. God, where's that promise? Patiently enduring for the promise of God. Is that hard to do? Me? Awesome. Hard to do. I'm like always reminding. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says, remind God saying, he says to us, remind me of those promises I've promised you. Does he have a bad memory? Does God have a bad memory all of a sudden? Only when I think God has a bad memory on purpose, only when we ask him to forgive us of our sins, because he doesn't remember them anymore. I wish I had that kind of a memory, where someone would say, I'm sorry, I messed up. Okay, and I never remember it anymore. But God does. But look, on this thing with his promises, the reason he asks us to do that is because we need to remember that God is a God that deals with promises. And we need to remember that his promises, if he's given them to us, are true. And they'll be there. But it's in his timing. Our responsibility? Endure. Endure. Don't let up. Continue one foot in front of the other. For they're coming. And in Hebrews, as we're looking in, going through the book of Hebrews, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, tells the Hebrew church that. And he uses someone all they so know. It's the father of their nation, not the heavenly father. Of course, Abraham. Enduring. Patiently enduring. That's one thing. When you endure, that's one thing. But when you patiently endure, whoa, it's a whole nother. You know, we do promises, don't we? In about a month, I'm going to officiate a marriage that's going to be tremendous. I know these people, and I've known one for over, well, since he was born. And I'm going to ask them to promise something to one another. You guys know what that is, what that means. Well, before I go any further, let's read the text. And the text is Hebrews 6:15. The title of the message is Patiently Enduring for the Promises of God. And let's start with 12. And 12 begins like this. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Imitate those people that are patiently waiting, that have faith in the promises. And they're the ones that says, I'm patiently waiting. I'm positive about this. Yesterday, I witnessed something glorious. And that's father teaching his daughter a very important truth. Dwell on the positive, not the negative. She wanted to go swimming. Well, and we were ready to leave, you know, the place that we're at. And it's like, dwell. And he had this whole thing. And man, she was just keyed in on him. Patiently. And look to those people Imitate those people that do that. 13, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessings, I will bless you, and multiply, I will multiply you. It's pretty self-explanatory. He's going to multiply Abraham, his seed. And so after he had patiently, and here's our text for today. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we, Lord, want to patiently endure. Yes, God, we do. We want to believe your promises. We want to stand on your promises. And God, we don't want to second guess you. God, we want to endure patiently and give you all the glory. And so help us to know that. Help us to even maybe jot down some notes here this morning. God, to understand that when we start to get impatient, we can go back to our Bibles and see, God, there, what you have told us today about enduring. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So people have promises. They make promises. After anticipating this day for months, Paul and Penny stand before the pastor promising they'll be faithful and true in sickness and in health, in riches or rags, until death separates them. You know, you heard. But 5 years later, Paul, well, he comes home and says, I'm out of here, Penny. You no longer meet my needs. You no longer captivate my heart. And with that, walks away from the promise he made, leaving his wife and family behind. How tragic. Well, folks, as we're speaking about promises, did you know the Bible that you hold in your hands, and I pray that you are holding one, or maybe that cell phone with the Bible on it, In fact, packed full of promises. Packed full of promises. More than 3,000 in number. 3,000 promises. Wow. In fact, many of you probably, I don't know, but I think, might have promise boxes sitting on your kitchen table, or maybe even those promise books stuffed somewhere. Maybe in your pocket here today. Maybe you read one. I have one on my desk. I read them. It just uplifts me. But today there are those also in our midst who would say, well, Pastor, my heart has been broken because I don't think the Lord has kept his promises to me. I've claimed promises. I've prayed them through. I've even written them down on 3x5 cards and stuck them to my mirror. You ever done that? I have. My wife's good at that too. Sticks them right on my bathroom mirror, right on there. So when I go to shave, I look and read them. Maybe we've done that. But nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. So maybe, like Penny, you're in that place today. If so, this is highly important that you listen today. A highly important text for you and I to consider. Now, if you're not in that place of pity, if you've had all the promises received, if you've just have no problem, the promises come through just like you've asked, just like you've prayed, well, certainly I would think that you live near or are linked to maybe family, maybe someone here, maybe a neighbor. To those who wonder why things don't work as Scripture promises. So therefore, you today, taking these notes down, can minister to those that ask you, why does God's promises come through? And so it's for all of us this morning. Now notice with me verse 12, as we read in Hebrews 6, we are exhorted to follow those who went before us and obtained the promise of faith. And in doing so, the author of Hebrews uses one man specifically, doesn't he? And of course, you know who he is. He's Abraham. As an illustration of this promise. The father of faith. Now, operative verse there in 15, after Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Question. First of all, what promise, and I'm sure many of you know, but just in a little bit of a review, what promise is he talking about here? Again, I'm sure you know the story, don't you? Every one of you. Abraham was 75 years old in Genesis 12, taking notes, and he was told to leave his home and go to a new land, where God would give him offsprings as many as the stars above. Wow, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of kids. And gang, this must have blown Abraham's mind. You know why? Because he had no kids at 75 years old. Sarah was barren. There was no babies at all. So off he went to his journey, his father of faith. And guess what? Sure enough, in the end, God came through. He gave him a son from whom the entire nation of Israel was born. But it didn't happen immediately. In fact, hear this, it took 25 years after he promised. Wait, I just, when I first heard this years ago, I went, wait, Lord, did I hear that correctly? That's 2.5 decades. Are you going to make me wait 2.5 decades? I can't remember what I had for dinner last night, let alone 25 years trying to remember your promise. And in this church, I think there's a hugely important spiritual principle that needs to be part of our lives this morning. Something that we can grasp our teeth into, some meat here, as I've said before, some milk, wash it down with, no cotton candy on this one, but you're going to leave with some protein, I believe. And so our first life lesson, if you're taking notes, that is, there is very often a gap of time between the promise and the performance of the promise. Does that make sense? If you get a promise right away, I need the osmosis next to you. What that? I don't know, but I haven't heard that often. Hey, I prayed, God gave me a promise, and within an hour it was fulfilled. No, that's not the way he works in my life. There's often a gap of time between the promise and performance of that promise. Now, in Abraham's case, the gap was 25 years. Now, notice with me, again, in verse 15, we read that Abraham patiently endured to obtain the promise. Really? He really did? He patiently? Well, tell me how he patiently, well, he just... patiently? Are you sure? Because, Lord, I, reading this in the Hebrew, see, I'm a pastor and I've read the Old Testament. I don't think he was too patient. I think he did some things that maybe he shouldn't have. Are you sure? Well, you see, this is why I love the New Testament. Why? Because, well, it is so wonderfully graciously in that it never mentions, not once, the sins or failings of the Old Testament saints. Did you know that? Every time you read something about the Old Testament saint, they were, ooh, angels, angelic. They did nothing wrong. But you go to the Old Testament, all the dirt, all the stuff, you know. You know the rest of the story. And by the way, I want you to know something. We're in the New Covenant. We live in that age, and that's why God looks at you and me under the new covenant, and your sins and iniquities will be remembered no more. Of course, take a note, Hebrews 8:12. We'll get there in another couple of weeks. So he doesn't remember you guys either. It's like, isn't that cool? New Testament, yes. And so I think it's really awesome. God identifies that we might relate to that as he does the Old Testament saints, as he does with us, his New Testament saints. So, because of that, if you only read the New Testament account of Abraham, you wouldn't know the rest of the story, would you? You see, gang, for a while it is true that Abraham patiently endured and obtained the promise. It is also true that when he was in his mid-80s, Sarah, isn't always the woman? I'm just kidding, ladies. Sarah goes to Abraham. She didn't have a whole lot of faith. Her faith was almost gone. And why not? Why not? I know God promised you we would produce a nation. But Abe, let's be reasonable. 10 years have come and gone since we heard from God, and nothing's happening. If you haven't noticed, I'm long past the age of childbearing. I'm old. I'm just not old. I'm dust old. Really old. So look, here's my plan. Let's help God along. That's what we'll do. And isn't that the way we do sometimes? Let's help God perform this promise. And so he did. She did. She said, let's help him along. And I have this younger handmaid. So why don't you have relations with her? And this is where the rubber meets the road. The spiritual leader, just like Adam, should have said, no, I don't care if she's younger. I don't care if she's prettier. I don't care if my flesh wants to, and your flesh kind of wants to because you want like a proxy child. I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going after that. I'm waiting on God's promise. But did he do that? Abraham? Well, the Abraham of the New Testament did, but the Abraham of the Old Testament surely did not. He said, yeah, okay. That doesn't sound like a spiritual man to me, does it, you? And so he did. Abraham agreed to Sarah's suggestion. And a baby named Ishmael was the result. That's called man's plan or the flesh taking over. And so Abraham and Sarah allowed the flesh, their plan, to take over. Do you understand by God's word and by his economy, Ishmael was not the promised child, never meant to be, but rather an attempt by Abraham and Sarah to try to help God fulfill the promise like we do. And as always, this is the life lesson, by the way, the case, always the case, whenever we try to help God to fulfill his promise in our lives, there's always an Ishmael produced. Remember that. I've noticed that in my life. Whenever I try to help God to fulfill a promise, oh, God, this is how you're going to fulfill it. That's what I'll do. I'll borrow money, and then I'll pay it back. Because and then I got this big Ishmael that comes to my house every month in the form of a credit card bill. That's my Ishmael. Honey, the Ishmael just got here. It produces something that God never intended. And many times, check this out, many times that Ishmael will hang out forever and ever and ever in your life when you didn't even need to produce that Ishmael. And of course, Ishmael became the father of the Arab nation. And the Arab nation, they all believe and understand that Abraham is their father, which he is. But the promised son, Isaac, would come through Sarah 13 years later after Ishmael was born. So because, now follow me, please. So because of the flesh getting involved with the promise of God, because of us, them trying to help God's promise, there's been unrest, hatred, and turmoil in the Middle East ever since. Let's relate that to us now in our lives. Have you ever tried to help God with his promise and something happens? And because of that, for the rest of your life, there's turmoil. It can happen. It can happen. Now, this raises an interesting question, at least for me. What kind of father would give a promise to his kids like me and then wait 25 years to fulfill it? What? Lord, do you really love me? You're just being mean. Why does God make us wait? Well, following are three short reasons why God our Father tells us to patiently endure. And so if you're a note taker, jot it down like this. And I want the pens out because you got to remember this. Please. Number one, to produce endurance. Part of our text today. To produce endurance in your life. I'm sure everyone has heard of Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah the prophet, if you haven't, you've probably heard of Jeremiah the prophet. And I'm sure you have. But you don't know who he is. He's just a prophet of God. Well, this guy, poor guy, all his life, he preached and prophesied God's word. No one got saved. No one got saved. He's known as a weeping prophet. Do you know why? No one got saved. I mean, they would abuse him. He would tell them, look, these people are going to come and kill you. They would come and kill him. And they still wouldn't believe him. This guy was just beat up, kicked. In the end, though, he became a governor, I believe, of Jerusalem. But at the time, Jeremiah was hurt. Well, he was getting a bit weary in his ministry, which God called him to, because no one was getting saved and no one would listen to him. And so he started complaining a little bit, and he says, Lord, when are you going to come through with these promises? Lord, I need an answer. I need for you to tell me something here. And so the Lord did answer him in a way I don't think he wanted, but Jeremiah 12:5, it won't come up there. You need to turn to your, use your Bibles and turn to it. I want you to read it so you'll remember it. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. It's on page 980. Okay, when you get there, give me a hearty amen. Jeremiah 12. Verse 5, it's just one verse, but it's really neat that you need to turn there and read it with me. The Lord answers Jeremiah. He says this, if you have run with the footmen, soldiers, and they have wearied you, so he's saying, I'm weary, I don't know the promises, I've run with these people, I'm just weary. And they have wearied you, then how in the world can you contend with the horses? I'm done. Back to Hebrews. If you can't run with the soldiers, how are you going to be able to run with the horses? What's he saying? This is what he's saying. In other words, you may think it's tough now, Jeremiah, but son, I know what's ahead. There are some real difficulties coming your way, some tremendous challenges heading your direction. So gird up and prepare to run with the horses. Quit complaining. Gird up. My promises are true. Quit complaining. There are some real difficulties coming your way. So gird up. Gang, because of the fallen condition of the world in which we live, death, disease, poverty, tragedy, and headache abound. Even Jesus made it clear there in Matthew 5:45. Very clear. What's he say? The rain will fall upon what? The just and the unjust. And that's blessings and trouble and trials. But we have the Lord to relent upon to get us through those. So consequently, God says, due to the repercussions of all this, that has fallen upon our planet. There are storms that's coming because this human race is so depraved. And you know how depraved they are. We are without Christ. There are storms that are brewing and coming our way. In return, do you know what we opine with? This is what we opine with. They changed the weather. God says, no, I'm not going to change the weather. Guess what? I'm going to change you because that's what I'm into. I'm into changing you. through trials you're going through right now, through mountaintop experiences that you will receive in due time, through the promises you're claiming but have not yet seen come to a full fruition. I'm going to fulfill my promises to you. But look, in doing so, his main thing, folks, his main objective is to change us to the glory of God. Change us to his likeness, to Christ's likeness. That is his whole ambition here. So, folks, if someone had told you 20 years ago the things that would have come down in your life or my life, if they had, someone had told me, came and said, hey, this is what's coming down in the next 25 years of your life, I would have said, huh? No way. I can't deal with that. Matter of fact, I won't deal with that. I'm not going to be part of that. No way. Uh-uh. But you see, my Father has been so good, so faithful in my life to prepare all along the way through difficulties and challenges. And yes, mountaintop experiences too. Yes, there were and are yet to come promises that he's going to fulfill in our lives. But also, there are gaps between those promises. Huge gaps. Yeah. We just need to wait. And you know what? In those gaps, it produces faith. When he comes through, I knew he'd come through. And then my wife, loving wife, she says, yeah, but remember, we were doubting something. Oh, yeah, I remember. He comes through. He always comes through in his timing. He's been good to us to prepare the way. Yes, there were and there are to be promises. Not because God was cruel that I had to wait to me or my wife, but because he cared about us. What God does in this waiting is he trains us. We're in boot camp. We're in training to receive the blessing. To receive the blessing. Trains us. What he sees coming down the pike. Gang, it's all about his divine plan for our life. And as he trains us and he goes, you know, oh, I can't give you this promise now because you'll take it and you'll, oh, man, you'll really mess it up. And what do? Wah, wah, wah. Don't we? Come on. We cry about it. Dads, if you promise your son when he's little, and you kept promising that when he got old enough, he just promised this 1932 Chevy Impala. Oh, it's perfect. You've worked on it for years. Your dad worked on it for years. It's perfect. It's got that 327 Hemi in it. I mean, it's got the shifter. It's got the 311 gears in the rear end. It's perfect. You keep it under a tarp. You almost worship it. Not quite, but almost. Now, let me ask you something. You promised your kid that. Would you give it to him when he got his permit? Here, son, here's the keys to the dream of my life here. At 15 years old? Are you kidding me? No sane dad would do that. No way. Probably about 25, maybe, if you get 30. Maybe 35. Why? Because he needs to be trained up. You take him out, you show him, you say, polish it, you'll polish off, polish on. Or polish on, polish off. Yeah. Wax on, wax off. Serious training. But we don't, for some reason, like to wait. And we no, this is not, I want this, and I want that, and we need to. Okay. We know, and I've pretty much told you about the not waiting stuff. Well, I have come across a video that will show us the opposite. Waiting patiently. thinking through this thing of a promise to see if we really, really can handle it. I'm going through my lesson last week, studying, and it's weird how God does. And I'm just watching TV, and that came on, and the Holy Spirit said, "There it is. That kid is patiently enduring the promises of God. He's thinking through things. He's thinking, well, maybe not. I can't handle them just yet." And that's the way we should be. Secondly, if you're taking notes, if you're a note taker, why God tells us to patiently endure for his promises is, well, I'm reminded Paul declared to the Ephesians there in Ephesians 3:20 that the Lord said, "I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think or imagine. But it's going to take time." And for some of us, more time than others. Due to her age and intense hunger, my granddaughter was a baby. One morning at breakfast, at the breakfast table, she was just a baby in diapers and she couldn't, you know, really communicate. She didn't understand. As her nanny was cooking pancakes, she started this crying. Intense, loud, ugly face. You get the picture. Crying. Loud. Well, I thought maybe a pin was sticking in her from her diapers. And then my wife told me, "You don't do pins anymore, honey. It's been a long time." And, "Well, what's wrong with her? Do we need to take her to the hospital?" "I don't know." And then she kept looking at the pancakes. And then we kept saying, "Honey, honey, I can't get the pancakes." And she was cooking. And she, "We can't give you the pancakes. It's doughy. You don't want the pancakes doughy. And do you? And do you want them too hot?" You know, that girl couldn't understand what we were saying. All she knew is she wants some pancakes. And as soon, sure enough, as we got her pancakes on her plate, man, she took off. And I don't know, she must ate three or four of them. She did see them. She, and then she was fine. And 5 minutes later, she's asleep. Why do I tell you that story? She couldn't understand what we were saying. In the same way, the Lord would whisper in our ears, my ears, "Ben, that's you. I'm cooking something great. I'm cooking it up as we speak. I'm getting something ready for you. But you're crying. Where is it? Where is it? I want it." Because you don't understand, and this is important, I almost entitled it, "You don't understand the language of faith." Folks, we've got to understand the language of faith. That's all part sometimes of our downfall in Christianity. We don't understand the language of faith. And in doing so, it will produce something here or not, and it will produce something in heaven for eternity or not. Understanding the language of faith. That's all of us. We all wham many times. We cry. It's been 25 days. It's 2 years, 15 years. Where's the promise? And all along, the Father's saying to us, "I'm getting it ready. I'm going to do something better than you could ever, ever imagine, but it's going to take some time." There's a short story of a father wanting to get his daughter saved. And it went on and on. And finally, you know, through many different things and falls and horrible different things, she finally gets saved. And God, they went to heaven. And when they're in heaven, he said, "Why didn't you just get saved? And that would be the end of it and the promise and all that." He says, because if she would have got saved, it would have been pseudo. She would have backslid. It would have been much horrible than... I waited until her heart was right. So our deals, man, many times aren't what God's plans are. St. Luke records in Luke 1:16 that Zacharias and Elizabeth, well, they were beyond the years of childbearing. No doubt they had stopped asking decades ago for children. But you see, what happened was God waited because Something happened there when the baby finally came at a really old age. It was just at the right time. Do you know why? Because it was John the Baptist. And he was the forerunner of Jesus, you see. And so if he would have made that promise years before, he wouldn't have been the forerunner of Christ. There wouldn't have been a forerunner of Christ. And so even though when we like wonder why he waits, he's got the reason. We don't know the reason. Just like in Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist came just at the right time. It wasn't their timing, but it was God's timing. Just at the right time to prepare the hearts of Israel for the coming of God's Son. You know, church, the same is true for you and I today. God says, I want to do things beyond what you could ever imagine. So hang in there. Hang in there because, well, the pancakes are on the griddle. Hang in there. Pancakes. Who likes pancakes here? Waffles? Everybody! Got to have a pancake day. I always love those. I have discovered that the longer God takes to fulfill a promise in my life, oftentimes, the better it will be. That's a life lesson. It's just true. The longer God takes, the better it's going to be. That's just it. I waited years and years and years. Years, man. I didn't think I was going to get married again. But you see, at this point in time, I went through some relationships like hot butter. And I knew what kind of person I was. And I asked God, Lord, I want a woman that loves you more than me. Because there's come a time that I'm going to probably run her off. And because if she loves you more than me, she'll stay. And sure enough, 32 years this month. Ain't run her off yet. Tried several times, unsuccessfully. Why? Because she loves God more than me and His Word. And so, but many times this is the way it plays out. This is the way it plays out. I want a man, Lord, who loves God passionately. Doesn't God say to delight in Him and He'll give you the desires of your heart? And so, Lord, this is my desire. And I'm praying for a man who loves God, who's 6'4" tall, with dark hair, a big smile, a good business head, of course, who loves to talk about the Lord, who loves to serve the Lord, who cares about people, who is good, a very good athlete, with a great sense of humor, who's sensitive, considerate, and who has eyes only for me, oh yes, Lord, and rich. That's what I want, God. So the Lord begins shaping and developing this young lady to make her the woman who would be attracted to such a man. You follow me? Amen? Amen? You follow me, right? Okay. Here's what happens. I've waited for 2 whole months, Lord, she says, and she heads off to the beach to scope out the scene, looking for Panama Jack. And then she wonders why, years later, she ends up with Bubba Gump. Looking for what? Oh, the wrong prices. The right guy, or whatever that saying is. That's what we do. Oh, I want this. I want this. I thought I'd get a better laugh out of that. But anyway, and then, Lord, so I've waited 2 months, and so I'm going to go to the bar. I'm going to go to the beach, and I'm looking for Mr. And you end up with Bubba Gump. And then you ask yourself for the rest of your life, what happened? You didn't patiently wait. After Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. But we know the inside story, don't we? He wasn't patiently enduring perfectly, was he? But he learned his lesson. He learned his lesson. That's the main thing for us to do, is to learn our lesson so we won't repeat it. And the promise eventually came his way after he learned his lesson and repented from it. The last thing, we got to go, we're almost out of time here. Number three, if you're taking notes, to prepare us. Now, I know some of this is over your head, but this is to prepare us for heaven. We are to patiently wait, you know, on his promises to prepare us for heaven. Now, also, I believe it prepares us here on earth, right? But it also prepares us for heaven. So, again, we look at the language of faith. Folks, the language of eternity is faith. Did you know that? It is faith. Well, the kind of faith we have here determines what we have in heaven. So when the Lord has us ruling and reigning at his side under his command, doing his bidding, whatever that means in the ages to come, he's going to need men and women like you and me who are not second-guessing him, no, not doubting, not faltering. In Luke chapter 19, in fact, Jesus says this. He taught about the faithful in this life who would be rulers in that life over 5 and 10 cities in the kingdom because of our faithfulness here on earth. He entrusted us of cities when he comes back to reign on this earth, taking us, the faithful, to reign over cities of 5 and 10. It's awesome. I read these, and it's not like a sci-fi fiction. It's for real. In other words, Jesus is saying there's a destiny far beyond that any of us know or can imagine awaiting us in eternity, for eternity. And the language that must be fluently spoken by us is this language of love and the language of faith, if we're going to be ambassadors for him in the realms and regions beyond, the language of faith for here and for in heaven. A couple days ago, I didn't have an opportunity to talk, but a couple days ago I did talk to and she informed me she teaches Spanish. And so I kind of got a gist from her. And she goes, why did you ask me these questions? It's for my sermon Sunday, for my message Sunday. And I also remember. Remember what? I remember my sophomore year doing what she does. I remember the teacher walking in, greeting us on the first day and saying, listen carefully. These are the last words of English you're going to hear in the entire year in this class. And that was it. From then on, everything she spoke was in French, or as in it was Spanish. It was miserable initially. But it forced us to think in a way we never would have had we been able to fall back on English. She would have said the same thing. She said, initially, it's really tough. It's kind of tough. But then as the year goes on, everyone's starting, and everything's good. And it's good. Do you know who? She said, she had the best class year after year. They were very fluent at the end of the year. You know who stopped that from happening anymore, she said? Parents. You're too rough on them. They're complaining about their homework. They can't speak. You know? Public school. So they quit. Do we do that? We're speaking the language of faith and people around us. What are you doing that for? And then we finally, I don't want to do this anymore. It's too tough. It's too rough. I just can't do it. But if you stick with it, man, at the end of the semester, guess what? You can say, como se, apivu. Which that actually, my daughter told me last night, it was actually Creole. Oops. How are you? And so, that's what the Father's doing for us, his kids. He says, life lesson 5, and the last one, I believe, the only way you're to be prepared for what's coming here and what's coming there is if I force you to learn the language of faith. Because that's the language you'll be speaking for the next billion years in eternity. Now, if I were God, you know what I'd do. Once a year, I go to every church and appear with a great display of power and fire. Just like, you know, the The wizard.
Cool and smoke and fire and all that rest.
Probably lasts for about a year. It would be forgotten. It just would. Those signs and wonders are for non-believers. And all that stuff, you know. It's just like it's cool and yes, God, yes, yes. But look at the Israelites. They had all kinds. And they still didn't go into the promised land. It's just like that doesn't move it. Faith is what moves us. Cements us. And so finally, in closing, God knows such a thing would actually undo what he desires to do. All that hype and stuff. For the growth of faith would be thwarted. We would depend on what we could see physically and hear audibly and get that rush. And consequently, we'd be fluent in the language of flesh instead of being fluent in the language of faith for eternity. Precious, precious people, saints. All the promises will come about in due season. But in the meantime, realize God's cooking the pancakes. So please understand that he's forcing you and I to develop a whole new way of thinking and living. And remember, Scripture says it was after he patiently endured that Abraham obtained the promise. Now here's what we're going to do as the band would come back up. Everyone stand. And on 1, 2, 3, I'd like everyone to say patiently enduring, okay? So we'll leave with that in our minds. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.